Time for Windows Weekly. Well, it's here. Windows 8, it came out yesterday. Paul Thurrott's downloaded it. Thanks to Alex Gumpel. I've got it on this little Lenovo notebook, and we're going to give you a big-time demo. Windows 8, all your questions answered next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 250, recorded March 1st, 2012. The Windows 8 Era. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Ford, featuring the EcoBoost engine with turbocharger and direct injection. Look for EcoBoost on the 2012 Explorer and Edge, the 2013 Escape, and at Ford.com/technology. And by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Try their online savings calculator and save $50 on your device purchase at Ting.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, and what a big shoe it's going to be today. Ladies and gentlemen, first, let me give you your interlocutor for the evening, Mr. Paul Thurrott of the Windows Supersites, winsupersite.com, and the editor, news editor for Windows IT Pro, the author of Windows Phone Secrets, many other Windows books, and our longtime interlocutor with us also.
I love that word.
I know. Isn't it a good word? I don't know what it means.
It's a good one.
I think you are one.
It's like an agent provocateur.
Yes. Actually, that's this lady here, Mary Jo Foley, our agent provocateur. Mary Jo is a columnist for ZDNet, writes the All About Microsoft blog, and was filing even as we were setting up this morning, because it's been a big morning. In fact, this is already your second show of the day. I saw that you did Jason Heiner's Tech Republic show this morning. I presume talking about Windows 8.
No, oh, crap, did that come out?
XP. XP. Woohoo. So yesterday, leap day, too early in the morning for me, Microsoft had an event heralding the release of the consumer preview. I have it running thanks to Alex Gumpel, who put it on a Lenovo, downloaded it, and immediately. And everybody can, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's open for all. That's what a consumer preview is. And I guess this is going to be a show all about that. I'm guessing.
I don't know. There's not too much to say, is there?
Oh, come on. Stop
it. Yes, there is.
Stop it. Stop it.
There's almost a whole book's worth of content,
yeah,
one might say.
Yeah. So we will talk about that. But we, of course, Windows Server 8 also put up a new beta. And there is some Windows Phone news from Barcelona. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about all of that. But first, let's kick things off by saying, here it is, Windows 8 consumer preview. Is it different from what we've seen so far? What is different?
Obviously, the basics of Windows 8 was available in the developer preview. But the big difference in this one is that the UI has been really fleshed out and is near final. And they've added the keyboard and mouse interactions that were largely missing in the developer preview, which made it kind of unusable for a lot of people,
right?
And so I think those are the two biggest changes that you'll see. Just a kind of a sense of maturity, I guess.
So we've got it running here. This now a couple of just tactical questions. This stays active until the commercial version comes out. How long can I use this?
You could use it until January next year,
January of 2013. Yeah. And is it? You're not going to put it on a production machine, but is it pretty rock solid, pretty stable?
Give me another week before I can speak to that. I had some issues early on that tablet, and I've since put it on a bunch of laptops. I'm going to put it on my desktop later today. So far, it's been pretty good.
Did they do an ARM and Intel version at the same time? So in other words, it sounds like you got a version for the ARM.
No, I have an Intel tablet.
Oh, you have an Intel tablet. Okay.
No, there's no ARM.
There's no ARM out here. WoWA is not out.
Right. They said WoWA is going to go out to select developers and some OEMs probably in the next couple weeks, but not to everyday people because it's going to be pre-installed on test hardware.
Does that make you think, Mary Jo, that perhaps, they do want to release Windows on ARM and Windows 8 at the same time, right?
Yeah.
They said they will. Are they behind?
No, I don't think they're behind, but, because Windows on ARM is more like iOS on iPad than it's like Windows on Intel. You know, it's meant to be pre-installed. It's not meant to be bits you take and you put on a machine. Like, they're not even going to let you put it on just any random ARM tablet.
Right.
That's not part of the plan.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Got it.
I have to say, I mean, just sort of a general statement. I can't speak to the long-term stability here, although I'd have to think that if there are issues there, those types of things are relatively easy to fix. This thing is more or further along, I guess would be the way to say it, than I might have thought before I saw it, you know? And I'm a little bit surprised by that. And, you know, there's an interesting thing that kicks in when you go through a lot of Windows betas, if you're used to this process. By the time you get down to the RC build and then, you know, some of the other builds that, depending on the version of Windows we're talking about, that they might release to testers, you know, things get a little boring, right? Mm-hmm. Because things don't really change dramatically between releases. And I almost feel like what we're looking at here is that, you know, that this is pretty much it. You know, it's not final or even, you know, it's not even feature complete, actually, technically speaking, but it's almost feature complete, right? And it has that kind of vibe of this is it, you know, like this is what it is going to be like. You know, whereas the developer preview was like, wow, there are a lot of missing holes here.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's a big difference from anything we've seen before. This Metro front page or Explorer or whatever, what do we call this? This is the home.
Start screen.
Instead of a start button, it's a start screen. Somebody in the chat room has already taught me one thing. If I hover my mouse in the left-hand side, I can see other apps that are running now.
Drag it down the side.
And then I have to drag it down to see the rest of them, and including the start menu at the bottom, or the start.
Yeah, that's the start. Yeah, the start tip, they call it. This is the switcher UI.
This is kind of cool. So this is instead of Alt-Tab.
Yep.
Or does Alt-Tab still...
Alt-Tab still works.
Still there. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
This is that UI, but, you know, they've replicated all of the possible navigation types through all of the possible input types. So there are ways to do all of these things with a keyboard, a mouse, or with touch.
So in every case, there'll be a keyboard, mouse, and touch way to do it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Aren't there like 26 keyboard shortcuts or something?
They have used every single in the letter in the alphabet and then some that don't even exist. You know, they have...
Yeah.
There are many, many keyboard combinations. So if you do Windows key plus C, for example, that will bring up the Charms interface, which appears on the right side of the screen.
Windows C, Charms.
There you go.
Oh, look at that. Now, oh. I shouldn't have moved a mouse, but now it's that's moved okay. to the top, sort of.
No, that thing you brought up on the top of the screen is related to the app. The thing you're seeing on the right side is system wide.
Got it. It really does. You know, moving the mouse over there and clicking it is going to start feeling, I think, slow to people who want to do this.
Well, who have a touch screen, yeah. And the other thing, by the way, you can do it with the mouse too. So just click in the middle of the screen there. And now I'll move your mouse up to the top right and keep it in the corner there.
The right is for Charms. Now, that's interesting because they're transparent now.
Because right there, it's only a preview. Because sometimes you might be going to the right side of the screen to grab a scroll bar.
Got it.
Now, if you drag that down, once it appears, now drag it down.
Now it's
it will
solid.
Come in black, and that lets you interact with it. Yeah.
Interesting. By the way, we knew this before, but just to reiterate, remember our discussion about the Windows logo. Turns out that is the new Windows logo. Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple 4-pane window in kind of a perspective mode.
Yep.
Yeah. I have to say this feels very snappy. I'm running this on a Lenovo X120e ThinkPad. Mm-hmm. It's designed for Windows 7.
Yeah, I mean, a 120e is essentially netbook class hardware.
Yeah.
It's got an 11-inch screen, I think, and it has a full screen, you know, I mean, a decent sized screen. So. But as far as the actual hardware, I mean, it's basically netbook class. I think it's running on an AMD chip, but it is kind of a low-end PC.
It's an AMD Fusion in here. So this is a very good sign. I mean, this is something you know, pretty darn low-end.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of RAM in here or anything. So that's pretty impressive. These tiles, just like in the Metro interface, are live. So now that I've gone to see my weather, I have weather there all the time. There's games, and here's a pit. I guess, I don't know. Well, we've all seen pinball, but it's interesting. There's a camera icon, which makes a lot of sense on a tablet with a camera. In this case, it's going to be, of course, this camera here, as soon as I allow it. This is the first time we've run it with this account, so there'll be all the permissions points. First, how big a download is it?
I think that the 32-bit version, the full download, the ISO download is about 2.5 gigabytes, and the 64-bit is 3.3. But there's a new install type, and I'll get to this in my – this is actually one of my tips that can dramatically speed up the install depending on how you're doing it. It's not clear how big that is, but it's kind of an interactive setup that occurs over the web that in many cases will allow you to install it much more quickly.
And all you have to do to get it is windows.microsoft.com.
Or I think preview.windows.com will also.
Okay. And then you can download. And does it? Do you have a recommendation about 32 versus 64? Does it matter?
I think the only time you'd ever use, well, there are two reasons to use 32-bit. One is because you have to, you know, if you happen to have an older PC.
Right.
Or maybe you're upgrading a 32-bit version of Windows 7 and you want that, you know, you want to retain the all the settings and apps and stuff that you have. So that would be one reason. The other one would be if you're going to install it in a virtual environment. 32-bit versions of Windows tend to perform dramatically better as in a VM for testing purposes. You don't know, there might be reasons you would do this in a production environment, but we're not there yet. So for right now, I would say if your goal is to test this in a VM, you're going to get better performance with the 32-bit version.
So I am going to do this right now on VMware, and so I'll download the 2.5 gig 32-bit version. And then there's a product key right below it.
Yeah, so right. Now, if you do an in-place upgrade, I think it is, or the web-based installer, that product key or a product key is actually plugged in for you. But if you are going to run, if you're going to take the ISO, I'm not sure in the VM, I don't remember. I think in the VM you have to, in the VM, if you install it in the VM in a clean install, you'll need that number.
That's why they have it in the on these ISO images.
Yeah.
Because most of you won't, in other words, need it. You're installing it on existing.
It depends on how you install it. It's if you're doing the ISO install like you're going to do here in a VM,
right?
You'll need it.
Right. Interesting. Okay. The camera started up. It took a little while to get the hardware working, but it's.
I'm now in the camera. Hello. How are you? Somewhere.
Maybe not. Doesn't look like it's got.
It's using our camera.
It's somebody's camera. We just don't know which one.
It's a sentient being.
I don't know what that's a shot of, but good news, even with, I think that's broken, but I was able to go just tap the start key. Oh, that's interesting. So I can cycle.
Yeah, it is. It is
getting
a talk.
The Windows key. That's interesting too. You know, actually, I think people are going to get used. I have to say, I was one of the really skeptical people about this. Big change. This is a big change. But, there's some nice things like that are nice. I think people might get used to this pretty darn quick.
Yep. By the way, if you do Windows key plus tab, if I'm not mistaken, that will bring up that switcher UI.
Ah, yeah. And then you can go down like that. So if you do alt tab, you get the traditional switcher, which we're all used to. But I think people will like Windows tab because it's down on the left. And that's nice. This is you really want to touch it. And I can see
I know.
Microsoft's, in a way, saying here is really touch is better.
It's even worse if you use it on a tablet at all. I've hit my screen on the laptop so many times,
right.
I'm probably going to break it. Like, why aren't you doing anything? You know, wait, this is a screen.
Yeah, no. I think that's something iPad users are used to. Is that, I'm always doing this now.
To me, it's awesome on a touch tablet, but I'm still really on the fence about it if you don't have a touch tablet, you know, and I don't know, like just having to navigate that with only a mouse and a keyboard. And a lot of my readers who are a lot of business users, they're like, oh no, if they don't give me a way out of that, I'm not sold. And well,
is there a desktop here anywhere? Can I get to a desktop?
Yeah, right there. That fish.
Yeah, there's a desktop button.
There's a
like
fish?
Desktop app.
Oh.
Well, it's a beta fish.
Oh, I get it. The fish. All right, and then, so this is now just.
Well, that's just. That's just a beta wall paper, obviously.
Yeah, I got it.
So a couple of things for this interface. If you move around with the mouse, move into the bottom left corner of the screen.
Oh, I'm busy. I'm busy changing the desktop. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Once you're done with that,
move into the bottom left of the screen.
This will give you a start tip. Now, if you were to tap it, that would go to the start screen, obviously. But if you go all the way down to the corner again, now right-click, that gives you a new power user menu.
Ooh.
Of a lot of the features that, frankly, are a little bit hard to get to otherwise, so they have kind of propagated them on this nice menu now.
This is like the control panel interface. You've got programs and features, network connections, power options, event viewer, system, device manager, disk management, computer. So, yeah, this is command prompt is here, an admin version of the command prompt, the task manager, the full control panel. You're right. These are the power user tools. Nicely hidden.
It's a nice thing to know.
Yeah. And you still have a computer management console just as you would. Let's try it. Let's open it. This is fun. It's always fun to get a new OS, isn't it? Oh, now what did I do?
So hit start again. It's okay.
I could go back down there, right-click again, and still there, even in the start window, start screen.
Yeah, and by the way, that's why the start button's gone, because now that start functionality is consistently available from any interface in the system, right?
Right.
You can get to it from the start screen, from a Metro-style app, or from the desktop.
So this is, in fact, exactly like the Windows 7, Windows NT, Vista computer management console. It's got all the same plugins, same UI, in fact. So you're not giving up a lot of I think that IT people in particular are the ones who are going to say, well, what about my command prompt? You still got a command prompt.
Well, I think to Mary Jo's point, the business is going to want to configure this thing so it just kind of goes to the screen probably. The other alternative would be to really fine-tune the start screen, which is very possible, so that the only things you see on there are the things that a IT pro or a worker would need to get their job done. You know, and we're looking at this kind of sample selection of apps that Microsoft has created in this release. But, you know, when the real version of Windows 8 ships, the basic apps included with the OS will be a much smaller subset of this. And then businesses are going to want to configure this so that the apps that those people need are the ones that are there, not music and people and all that stuff. So, I mean, the interface could be very finely tuned, I think, to the needs of a business.
Fudge 42, not his real name.
Not his real name.
Ask a good question. And we will be taking questions from chat, by the way, so please fire them up, and I'll get as many as we can. Wants to know, is there a boot to desktop as opposed to boot to start screen? Is there a way
I haven't played with this, but my understanding that this was available in the developer preview was that if you look at group or local policy, that there is a switch in there that will cause that to happen. This is something I've not verified, but Microsoft did say some time ago that that would be configured through group policy, right? That
When I re-asked them, were like, "We never said that." Right?
Oh, interesting.
So. Oh, they did very much say that.
Yeah. I know, but you know what I mean. It's like we don't want to give away anything, but yeah.
Well, yes. So Microsoft never goes back on their word, Mary Jo. That's something I learned this week.
No, I know. I need to learn that. And,
usually you find that out tied to a chair in a basement somewhere. But regardless of the source of that information, apparently. Obviously, even if Microsoft doesn't permit that, or you know, make that an obvious choice through policy, as they've said they would, people are going to figure out a way to make that happen. I mean, you know, even in the Windows 95 days, you could change the boot up shell from Explorer to, you know, Program Manager if you wanted to. I mean, there are always ways to do things like that, and I think people are enterprising it. We will see. We're going to see little utilities that return the start button.
There will be cases where you will want that. But I have to say, given that these tiles will be fully configurable, it makes perfect sense for IT to say, all right, well, you're the business department. We're going to have Excel right there. You know, we're going to, I mean, it just, you know, here's your email and that's all.
And,
you know, two
for
big
whatever
buttons.
It's worth, they intend for that screen to be the default thing that someone sees when they log onto a server as well.
Interesting.
So Windows Server 8 is also using this interface.
Wow.
And that is arguably even more debatable, but I think what they're shooting for there, to speak kindly to the dead, if you will, is that they want a consistent interface for people so that, you know, you log into a server, it's like logging in.
You'll know it, yes. Well, that's commitment, though. Yeah. They're committed to this, and I actually respect that. If you're gonna do something like this, you do it half-assed, then nobody will be committed to it, and, you know. So, interestingly, by the way, we were talking... go ahead, Mary Jo.
But on behalf of the business user here, and speaking for the business users, there's a lot of hate already in the server side for this idea that has to be the UI. And, you know, I'm not defending what they're saying, but I'm just saying there's a lot of resistance, and... you know, a lot of it's about retraining users, too, you know. I mean, like, it costs companies a lot of money when you have tens of thousands of users, and they see this, and they're like, you know, what is that?
So that's actually what I meant when I said I was speaking of the dead or referring to the dead.
I mean, systems.
Yes, Well, no, I meant server in a way. Like, I don't think that this, I don't think that server has necessarily control over its destiny anymore. I mean, I think they're obviously riding the Windows 8 train, and it's not going to stop. So you just got to get on and
hold on. And I think that's the right way to treat this. I mean, if in for a penny, in for a pound. Maybe it's the wrong thing. Who knows? But if you're going to do it, commit. And it's going to be much more likely to succeed if you commit than if you say, well, you could do it, you know, this way or that way. Go for it. If you believe in it, go for it. Here's the App Store. 75 apps now from Microsoft and third parties, including Cut the Rope. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll calm down. So, I mean, look, this is not what it's going to, when it comes out for reals, there'll be
at least 100 apps.
But at least 100.
Well, the important thing about the store now is that this is just the beta. So for them to have even this many, I think at launch is pretty good.
I'm amazed.
Everything during the beta is going to be free. When sometime in the future, maybe RC or whatever they call that, obviously they'll start allowing paid apps. There'll be trial versions of apps, as you see on Windows Phone. Developers will be able to target different markets. That's going to be one of the weirdisms of this, that you will see apps that are written that only work in certain locales, if you will, the United States and Canada, but not Japan or something, you know, depending on the developer. You will be able to install these apps on up to 5 PCs and devices. They should work perfectly well between WoWA and Intel.
Wow.
Based systems, the same app, you know, should work. In fact, click on one app. Just click on an app.
Photo Vault.
Yeah, and if you go to, I guess, details.
All right.
Up in the top, you should see something that says supported platforms. And it says x86, x64, and ARM.
Wow.
And that should be very consistent for apps. For some reason, during the beta, the Microsoft bundled apps actually just say x64, x86 for some reason. But I suspect that will change.
This is very Zuni.
Yeah.
You will know how to use this if you've ever used Zune Marketplace. Really feels like it. I'm going to point out another thing. Remember, I turned on the camera application, and the light was green for a while as it ran in the background. And we talked about this. There is kind of this built-in memory management garbage collection, just as it has to be on portable devices, also on the desktop. So that app is now kind of gone, even though I didn't explicitly close it. I think that's correct. Yes?
Yeah, so they're managed in the background. The one thing I've noticed in the beta, the consumer preview, is that far more apps are allowed to run in the background than was the case in the developer preview. That version was very aggressive about that. And I think they did that on purpose so that developers could test what happened as their apps were suspended and then finally quit. Because obviously when you write an app for this environment, you have to handle that stuff correctly, right? And now in the consumer preview, I think we're seeing something that's closer to final, because this isn't a phone. You know, a phone might have 512 megs of RAM, but a computer typically will have 4 gigabytes of RAM or more. So you can hold a lot more in memory at the same time, and you are seeing that now with the...
So the App Store also has updates, and I see here that there are four of the apps that came with it are already available for updates, so I just click one button, and those apps are just going to install themselves, right, and update themselves. That's cool.
Yeah, look in the top right. You'll see how you're doing that.
Installing four apps.
Yep. So that thing, you can't do it with your finger, but you can swipe to remove that notification.
I really want to.
As you can on the phone, you know, you can tap up there and go see the downloads and so forth.
If nothing else, this is a big ad for touch. I'll tell you, it's great. Nothing wrong with it. You want to touch it. That's probably a good thing, right? I'm impressed at how well this is running on very low-end hardware. Wow.
Yeah, Paul, you should talk about, because this question kept coming up yesterday. If you're navigating only with a mouse, not a keyboard, right? Like, tell us like how you can scroll fast and scroll across, because some people were really confused by that.
When you plug a mouse into this system or have a trackpad, you'll often see scroll bars in the Metro screens, and you can of course click on those and scroll around as you would in kind of an old fashioned way. But there's a feature called push scrolling where if you bump up against the edge of the screen in a Metro screen that will scroll, like the start screen, it will scroll as you push it. You have to go to the right in this case.
Yeah.
Now, the faster you push it, the faster it will go. So if you go slow,
so let me go back slowly.
It's very easy to go fast. This is if you think about it, there's not much to scroll.
So I could go a little bit at a time. And presumably, as you add apps, it's going to extend this screen farther and farther to the right. So there is a reason to have ballistic scrolling.
Now, the other thing you can do, and this is going to be a little harder than that Lenovo, but I believe it's possible. There's probably a little blue button below the trackpad button. or the, you know, the nubbin thing they have.
The nipple?
You can do scroll wheel scrolling.
Ooh.
As well. So if you have a scroll wheel, it will do
the
same thing.
Yeah, it was doing that. Look at that. Ooh.
Yeah, it's a little harder with the track point, but you get the idea.
It does it. Yeah. Wow, neato.
Yeah, so again, you know, all of this stuff that you might, you know, in touch interface, obviously you're going to swipe that thing and do that kind of stuff. But in each case, there's an analog, if you will, in the other input types to allow you to achieve the same thing. So if you stuck with just a keyboard, you'll be able to get everything done. If you try to run setup on just a touch-based screen, for example, all of the setup screens are all touch-enabled as well. So you could set up Windows just with touch. You know, you don't have to have a keyboard and mouse like you would have had to in the old days.
In our chat room, somebody said, stupid tiles, they're all a jumble, but you can just as you could on your phone, you can just drag these around. They're all, you can organize them any way you want, right?
It is your ability to accept new things that makes you a good person.
No, you know, it's funny because I will be honest, I was very skeptical. As you know, we talked about this, about putting essentially a tablet interface, forcing desktop users to use it. I know, Mary Jo, you're still worried about business people and their reaction to this, but it works better than I would have given it credit for.
Yeah, you really do, I think, have to spend time with it. And I have not spent enough time with it to say, look, it worked. Well, actually, of course, I have written that, but I would say that it works, like you said, way better than one might have expected, and that's a good sign. And of course, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we're going to have to use it and really use it. And we'll see. You know, we'll talk a 30-day scenario, 60 days, and we'll see. Just using it purely with a keyboard and a mouse environment, you know, how will this thing work? And I think people are going to generally be pretty surprised.
The other thing that's very interesting, because I had set up for a Windows Phone, and we went through this before Windows Phone came out, Windows Phone 7 came out, and Paul, you told me, go into your Live account and really get it all set up with your Facebook, your Google, everything in there. And now because that was all set up, It was trivial to get this thing going because all I had to do was log into that Live account. And just as the phone sucked up all that information, this has. So my mail is in here. You know, it has my – I was just looking at tweets from my friends. My contact list is in here. That is a new experience for desktop computing. People are not – even on the Macintosh, you've got to go one by one through everything and configure it. This, it knows everything. I think there's a lot to be said
for that. It's nice,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's also the flip side of that is, you know, there's also a single point of failure there. So Microsoft had posted a little while back, and I had reposted it, this notion of, you know, if you're using your Windows Live ID or what they're now starting to call a Microsoft ID or a Microsoft account, you want to go in and obviously protect that as well as you can, and they provided the steps for doing it. So, I think I used that as a tip a few weeks ago, but...
Zerobius or Zero Bias, I guess that's probably how he pronounces it, says that Ubuntu has done that for a while. Okay, I haven't experienced that with Ubuntu, but that's nice.
Okay,
that's good.
No one else has either, Leo. That's right.
to my knowledge, this is something relatively new.
Okay, that's nice. But I mean, Microsoft has had their passport account since the mid 1990s. I mean,
well, and that's funny because I'm still using that account. That's the account I'm using.
Let's not pretend Ubuntu invented this. I mean, Microsoft has been doing this in Windows Phone for a couple of years. They started the first steps toward this with Xbox Live in 2002, with Zune and Zune Pass and all that stuff years ago. So, this is the fruition of all of this type of iCloud type stuff that Microsoft is doing right now.
NCKey.
So this is what's called. They're calling this Microsoft Account, right? And it's kind of like Windows Live ID on steroids, I guess, right? Just like Windows Live ID with some extra stuff added, or no?
I'm not sure that the account thing has anything added other than nicer new interfaces on the web to manage it all. I mean, ultimately, this aggregation of like sub-accounts, like your Zune account, your Xbox account and stuff, was already there. But the real expansion of this stuff is in the OS itself, you know, the level of stuff that you can do. So, for example, when I install Windows 8 the first time and you log in with your account and there you go and you start syncing stuff. But then I install it on a second machine. And it asked me, do you want to sync everything? And I say, yes. And the desktop wallpaper I had comes over. All of my app settings come over. It just happens automatically. And if you want to, you can have a consistent interface between two or more different PCs and have that work home thing where maybe you travel around with a tablet, but when you get home, you sit in front of a completely different PC. You don't dock the tablet. You use something completely different. But everything there is exactly the same. And this is the, you know, that kind of future of computing thing I think we've all been kind of looking forward to, finally starting to happen. I mean, there are other things they can do over and above what they have done, but definitely heading down that path.
We have a number of questions, and are you ready to start taking questions from the fabulous chat audience? One question NCKHW asked is about the desktop under the start screen. Can I customize these things here? No, it doesn't look like it.
No, you can. So do Windows key plus C to get the charms.
Okay.
And then go to settings at the bottom of that.
Ah. So these settings are specific to this UI.
They are to the start, but now go to, just to see it, go down to the bottom. It says more PC settings, I think.
Mm-hmm. So just to tell people, there's the Wi-Fi. So this would be kind of what the little task tray was before, kind of like brightness, power. They're very tablety, but I don't mind. I'm telling you, I think we're getting used to that metaphor. Ah, right. Here we go.
All right. Now, this, by the way, the stuff we see now is very basic compared to what's going to be in RTM. I mean, this is some very basic patterns, but right where your mouse, there you go.
Start
click on that.
Yep.
And that gives you colors and backgrounds, and the backgrounds are the patterns.
Right.
So, by the way, there's only six of them. It's not a big deal.
But you can change them, and definitely.
Yes. there'll be a lot more here.
Well, you know, this reminds me a lot of Metro on the phone. In the sense that it's more flexible than that. But remember that you could change. Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm telling Paul. Hey, remember using Windows Phone?
No, I've never heard about that. Can you tell me a little bit more? I stopped using it after I wrote the book, but please tell me.
So you could change the start screen, but you can also change the lock screen. And they have some nice images for the lock screen here. That's great.
Yeah.
And you can even have lock screen apps, which is kind of interesting.
These are the apps that sort of throw up little notifications, right? It's also, by the way, just like the phone. So you want to see something like the number of emails you may have, the next item in your calendar, you know, stuff like that. Those are the little extra icons you can add.
I'm going to have weather. Yeah. I'm going to have calendar. I'm going to have massaging. And I'm going to have mail. So you have slots for a 7. But presumably, as you add apps, you could add. And so this is actually more flexible than it is on the phone.
Oh, a lot more. Yeah. So now hit the Windows key L, I think, log out or lock the screen.
We're going to have to learn all of these Windows keys. Oh, look at this.
Hold on a second. So you don't see them, unfortunately, so maybe that didn't quite work yet. But next to the power button that's at the bottom there, the little icon. That's where those white icons will appear. Those things you just added.
Got it.
Yeah, maybe you have to actually log out.
I probably didn't do something right, but that's neat.
Yeah, but that's where they will appear.
Now, here's another thing that I didn't know. If I thought, how do I have to slide this up every time? But Paul told me, hit any key, boom, like that, and now you can log in.
You know, I tend to hit the enter key every time. Like that makes a difference.
Doesn't make any difference or sense because the space bar is right there. By the way. Did not give it an account picture. It pulled that from a Windows Live. So, again, all of this configuration happens. The guy who said Ubuntu said, well, I meant Gwibber, which is an Ubuntu multi-chat client. Yeah, Gwibber does
which
that.
That's where all of Microsoft's UI ideas.
Gwibber, everything ideas comes from. But that doesn't do a desk. So I stand by my original contention that there is no desktop operating system that does this, and I think that is going to set a standard. I think this is really how it should be. And nowadays, people, I take it back. You know what does do it? Chrome. Chrome OS does this because all you do is you log into your Google account and knows everything about you. So these are all the settings in here. This is great. I think this is very elegant and pretty. Will people feel like it's dumbed down? Is that the issue going to be the issue, Mary Jo? That it's just too stupid?
You know, people say that about Windows Phone all the time, right? Like, I don't like it. It's dumbed down. It's too easy. I like Android phones because you can do more and they're more techy. I'm like, oh, please. I don't know. I think I just think the easier you can make computing for people, the better.
Most people, and some of our audience, want it to be hard to use, but that's okay. I use an Android phone. I like so. This is where you were talking about syncing your settings on this PC is on, and you can have all of this desktop personalization, ease of all of this on or off, granular browser settings, history, bookmarks, and favorites can be synced. metered internet connection. Sync settings on metered connections.
Okay, so that's if you have a 3G card any kind of cellular card built into the laptop.
And if you're sharing it with something else, so it meters it across the machines, that's amazing.
Yeah.
This is some forward-thinking stuff.
It's, you know, it's obviously very much influenced by mobile devices, primarily smartphones, but tablets as well, that we're, you know, you sort of think about it from a completely different standpoint than we have traditionally with PCs, because PCs came from a desk.
Right.
So this is kind of a rethinking, or if there was some other word, if you will, of Windows.
Right. Yeah, that's what they said.
I told
reimagined.
The guys. Yeah, I said, you guys should come up with some kind of a term, you know, something that describes what you're doing here.
So I'm looking at the chat room and taking questions from the chat room. They agree that the issue, if you had an issue with this, would be the feeling that it was a dumbed down UI.
I don't see that. I maybe it's because I use an iPad a lot, and
maybe it's because you're dumb.
I am literally speechless.
By the way,
to me, but
just want to point out this is so much prettier. Purple, highly recommended. Go with the purple.
Why does no one ever say iPad's dumbed down?
Right.
People say that.
Right. Good point.
I say that all the time.
Actually, people do say it's dumbed down. No, people say it's dumbed down. Yeah. Okay. But
here's Leo, do you want to set up the iPad, guys?
Yeah.
It's just a big iPod Touch. Watch the mail come in.
It is, though.
I know it is. It is. But
I think the point would be here that the same people who don't want the iPad because they want a desktop, they want a command line, they want all of that stuff, are going to look at this and have the same reaction, which is, and their fear is, and I understand, I'll echo this, is that, hey, when you had Windows, at least you had somewhere to go that you had all of that, right? So you had a choice between something like the iPad and Windows, where you could configure the hell out of it, and you had, you know, that was the geekiest thing. Now, Windows is saying, well, we're going to go this way.
That's the deal closer. I think a lot of people are going to walk into a Best Buy or whatever 6 months down the road, and they're going to see these things all lined up, and they're going to go, oh, my God, that thing's really beautiful. How much is it? What does it do? Blah, blah, blah. And then someone's going to say, oh, yeah, by the way, it runs all your Windows apps. And they'll be like, yep, I want that. That's going to be the end of it. This thing is gorgeous, and it does the Windows stuff. Perfect.
Yeah, I think the question's going to be the ARM part, though, right? Like, ARM, the Windows on ARM isn't going to run all your apps, and it's not going to run your plugins and all that. So that's more like the true dumb down, if you're going to use dumb down.
But that's the choice, right?
If you want to run your existing apps, you got to go with the Intel side. You got to go with the x86, x64. You can't go with the ARM side. That's basically going to be your choice as a user.
But what the choice is going to boil down to is obviously that access to the legacy stuff. But also, I think the price. I mean, I think WoWA devices are going to be less expensive. They're going to be the consumer-oriented version of Windows, essentially, that, as we discovered this week, they're not going to be able to log into a domain as the business versions can. And thus will be less expensive. So, you know, maybe we have a $300 tablet over here that is a WoWA device, and maybe we have a $500 tablet over here that's an Intel device, and you can make your choice accordingly.
I have a little update, by the way.
Yes.
A little update on the ARM. So this was something that came up this week because Microsoft published, I don't know if they did it inadvertently or on purpose, but they published a document to the web. They published a document to the web that's their business guide for Windows 8 consumer preview. And that's when everybody started panicking and they're like, oh no, you can't join a domain with this. And so you're going to be able to manage the iPad, but you're not going to be able to manage your Windows 8 ARM tablet.
That's not actually true.
It's not true. Correct. But that's the story that's like really going wild on the web right now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt, but that's not. Go ahead.
Right. It's not true. That was my update.
It's okay. It's both on the screen. You can both talk at the same time. Just enjoy. Right. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
It is not true.
It is not true. So people shouldn't panic. And Microsoft actually said this week they're going to talk more about Windows 8 in business settings, a consumer preview in business settings at CeBIT coming up in Germany. So
still more to say about this.
Obviously. But I think the simple thing to say is this. A WoWA tablet, an ARM-based Windows 8 tablet, will not be able to log on to a Windows server domain. An iPad can't log on to a Windows server domain either. Right.
That was one of our questions. So WoWA won't, but the desktop will, obviously.
But the management part is tied to something called Exchange Active Sync. And WoWA devices will be manageable with Exchange Active Sync, just as iPhones are and iPads and Windows phones and whatever else, lots of things. It's kind of a standard, if you will, in the enterprise world. So the management aspect of it is not the issue. The issue is a WoWA device won't function as a PC in a managed environment in the sense that you won't be able to log on with a domain account. It will only support local accounts and those Windows Live accounts like you're using on that machine.
And it's Active Directory, right?
Active Directory,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. What happened was when people saw that word managed, right. People started saying, you're not going to be able to use Microsoft management tools.
They said, manage this. So, all right, I'm going to give you, we got to do a lightning round because questions are flooding in.
Right.
So as best you can, if you can do quick answers to these, does it handle multiple monitors? Yes.
It's a Metro on one screen only. So two, three, four monitors. The other ones are all going to be the desktop.
Ah, interesting. Metro on one, the rest desktop. That's good. Minimum specs. Have they said anything?
Yes.
It will run anything on, Windows 7
on,
will run.
No. The page that you went to download it, it tells you. Has that. By the way, basically everything that Windows 7 can run on. The one black hole in this is actually netbooks. Most netbooks have a screen resolution of 1024 by 600. Which is below the minimum spec for Windows 8. I've not tried this, and I will. But I'm curious to hear if anyone in the chat room especially has tried to install it on a netbook. Because I'm guessing it will not, in fact, work.
Interesting. Will, this is from iPad 05088, Will, who says iPad, people aren't geeky. Will Windows 8 RTM ship with a newer media center? What is there media center at all on this thing?
Yes.
Yes.
But the version that's in the consumer preview is the same one that shipped with Windows 7.
So will they update
it's a desktop. In other words, it's a desktop app.
Right. So that will be updated separately from the OS, I presume.
If it's updated at all. Okay. I frankly don't see any.
We don't know that much about Media Center. Yeah. And we don't know, is it going to be an app in the store? We don't know anything, how they're going to deliver it, right?
So it begs the question, media player. Yeah, media player is in there. I never even looked for it. I don't care anymore. But they have media playback apps that are in the
that
Metro.
That functionality button. Will persist in some form, I would guess.
Well, they almost have to just for legacy reasons, right?
So many people use home theater PCs.
Yeah.
Of course, they might just stay with Windows 7. Why would you?
Yeah.
Although I have to say, on a big screen, if you had, this would look good on a big screen.
Yeah, maybe you love Media Center for whatever reason, and you still want to run it, but you want all those advantages of Windows 8 Metro as well. Yeah, okay, you can have both, you know. But, I mean, looking at it, I don't see any differences between this and the Windows 7 version.
I don't know what I'm looking at. This is a calendar. It says app
preview. That's your calendar app.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the apps, the Windows Live apps that are in there are app previews. Those are not
I Metro. See. So by saying app preview, it means...
Well, it's also a hint, by the way, that that's not going to be included in Windows 8.
Ah.
It's something you'll get from
good,
the store
because
or
that's
with
the ugliest assed calendar I have ever seen.
No, hold on. So
I can't even read it.
Hold on.
Oh.
Bring up the app bar.
Bring up the app bar. Okay. Bring up the app bar.
It's Windows key Z.
Okay, good. All right. That puts that down there.
Click on one of the other views like we
do. There's other views. Okay, maybe it'll be prettier in the other view. Yeah, that's more normal. It's a little candy colored. This is kind of the eight scheme, right? Is these
one might call it Metro style.
Metro, it's Metro stylish. Okay, what it's was that? WinZ. Okay, and then this is Week. Yeah.
Mary Jo's thing is code names. My new thing is going to be keyboard shortcuts.
I think you've got 26 episodes worth. My God,
that's going to be my shtick.
This I'm not crazy about.
I think
but
you
that's
should sell a little laminated guide, a little keyboard. Yeah. Guide.
Actually, what I want to do is make one of those keyboard overlays like they used to give out for WordPerfect.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea.
I want
good
one.
Idea. Now, Webster says, "Well, what are they saying? No choice." He's talking to the chatters. Don't you have command CMD? Yes, you do. We've seen the command line. Do you have regedit?
Yep.
Yep.
Of course.
As long as you got regedit, you get Windows.
Windows key plus R. Bring up
still?
The run.
No.
Of course. And type regedit and dun.
Oh, that does the run. Okay. And do I have to type regedit 32?
Just regedit.
Boom. And it's as ugly as ever.
Yep.
And just as
just
fun.
The way those people want it.
Just you want regedit, you got it. I'm not having any problems with this. What about multitasking? They're saying Microsoft is abandoning. Lepton says, hasn't Microsoft essentially punted on multitasking? This environment can't handle three or more applications simultaneously. true?
No. What it can't handle is three or more application windows on the screen at the same time in the Metro environment. So you can do side-by-side screen sharing, not multitasking. There are many, many apps all running in the background.
It doesn't do windowing is what it doesn't do.
Right. It's a tiled interface. Now,
but then you can always go to the desktop and you'd have the same windowing you'd always have, right?
Yep. And yeah. And none of those apps are dying silently in the background, at least not until you're running hundreds of them. Right. So
this won't run in a windowed environment. This is the calendar app that's a Metro calendar app.
I asked about this and I ended up writing about this because one of the things I'd written a blog post about a month ago where I said, Windows 8 doesn't look like this. And it was a screenshot where I mocked up those full screen apps running on the desktop in windowed mode. Like, why can't it just look like this? And there are a lot of reasons why it can't. One of them is that they want, and maybe the most important one is that, they're creating a new environment here, a new runtime environment, a new app. Styles and all that kind of stuff. And they want these things to be sandboxed and protected both from the OS itself and also from other apps. And once you allow these things to share the screen, you can inject code in certain ways and you can do things that kind of obviates a lot of the benefits of the security of this new model. And, for people who are heavy multitaskers, they're going to be running on a big screen and maybe they're running a lot of desktop apps and they can use the keyboard to switch back and forth. Or they're going to run on a tablet. And frankly, how many windows do you want on a little tablet? This, I think it's an 11-inch screen that I have on this Samsung tablet. I mean, frankly, running desktop apps on this thing is not great, especially in Windows, little Windows, because they're tiny. So I just think this is it's arguably a step back in some way because you don't have little windows everywhere and all that. I kind of get that argument, but it's also V1. For Metro, for this environment, and I fully expect, in fact, I had small discussions along this line that, this is the type of thing that's going to improve over time. But I really do think people need to give this a chance because I think they're going to be surprised. I think most of them will be surprised, but actually it works pretty well.
We're talking about Windows 8. We've got the consumer preview fired up on this Lenovo, and Paul and Mary Jo are giving us a tour and answering your questions. If you're in the chat room, we will answer many, many more. There's more questions than we can answer, Paul. This is great. I think, the best possible thing to do today. But there's also news about Windows Server 8. There's much to talk about. We will continue to do so with Paul Farratt and Mary Jo Foley. Paul Farratt of the Super Site for Windows, Mary Jo Foley of all that, Microsoft.com.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. You say aluminium. I say thorium. But first, let's talk a little bit about a brand new advertiser. Are you ready? Get ready. Brand new advertiser. Actually, it's kind of an old advertiser in some sense. Certainly an old friend. Remember the Ultimate Collection of Windows Software? Two cows?
Yes.
Yes. Elliot Noss runs it. It's a great company. They also do hover.com, which is the domain name registrar we recommend. And now, in the same way that they've taken on domain name registration and made it, good, easy, and clean, they are taking on perhaps the thorniest, most messy business in the world, wireless, and reinventing it with Ting Mobile. And I think you're going to be very intrigued by this. For end users or businesses, This is how you've always wanted a cell phone company to run. Let me explain. First of all, they have a broad variety of phones. They're mostly Android phones. I don't think they have Windows phones yet, although I bet you with Nokia getting involved that they probably will have a lot of Nokia phones. Oh, come on. I mean, something's wrong with my internet connection. Here we go. Go to ting.com/windows, and you can... I'm not seeing the devices. Maybe they're updating that right now. You can find out more about Ting. I have, for instance, an very nice HTC Android phone. This one has a keyboard and a slider. It's Gingerbread. But the thing that makes Ting unique is their account, their pricing plans, their account usage dashboard. They're based on a Sprint. So if you have Sprint coverage where you are, they're absolutely a great choice for you. You're going to have exactly the same performance and coverage. But here's the deal. When you go in to set up a Ting account, you first of all tell them how many phones you want. One from 1 to 6. That's why it's good for, or more. It's good for business. And each device is $6 a month. Boom. As long as it's active, $6 a month. Then you tell it what plan you want. Extra small, small, medium, large. And you click the one you want. So you buy minutes SMS and data separately. Data, by the way, on the Sprint 3G and 4G network. So let's say, you know, maybe I'm making mostly phone calls, but I want to do some messaging, and boy, I need a lot of data. That'll add up all the prices. It'll be $106 a month with one phone. Let's get 20 phones. It's good for business too. Up to 20 phones. So $148 for 8 phones that cover my business. Now here's the beauty part. At the end of the month, if you didn't use 2,000 minutes, they give you a refund on the amount you didn't use. If you didn't use 1,000 texts, you only use 100, no problem. We'll just give you the $2 back. If you didn't use 3 gigs and you only used 2, no problem. We'll give you the $18 back. You pay for what you use and no more. So this is just really kind of you saying, I think it's going to be like this. But you literally, and there are no overcharge, no surcharges on overages. The freebies include voicemail, picture and video messaging, three-way calling, caller ID, tethering, and hotspot free. And you don't pay for something you don't use. This is going to totally change how people use cell phones. I am so excited about this company. When Elliot came out, it was very difficult for me not to talk about it. He came out in September and said, we're going to do this thing called Ting. And he told me about it. And I said, no, this is the greatest thing. I want to tell everybody. But I said, well, if you want, we could do some advertising. I said, yes, because this is something I can get so excited about. We've been using this Ting phone for a while. It's great, fast speeds, great data, and you only pay for what you use. And if you're a business, $6 per handset, and it's all together, and whatever you use as a total, that's what you pay. The overage, there's no surcharge. TING.com/windows. TING.com/windows. 3G and 4G of Elafane, depending on the phone you get. It does support the Sprint 4G network. So this is just fantastic. In fact, if you just go right to the calculator, you can see how much it's going to save you. You just say how many devices on your plans. This is where I got the 6 devices. The calculator only goes up to 6. But let's say you got 6. And then you say what your total was, and it'll tell you how much it's going to save you. Just check that if you do nothing else and see how much Ting will save you. You will be mind blown, gobsmacked. Ting, TING.com/windows. We welcome them to Windows Weekly. We're very excited about having them on board. Just take a look. There we go. Now we got the phones up. I think they were updating this. So I think it's all Android smartphones. Some good ones, too. They won me over. They just added the Galaxy S2 4G. Oh, boy. I'm happy now. And by the way, these phone prices, because they're not subsidizing the phone, they're a little subsidized, but they're a little bit higher, but you own the phone and there's no early termination fee. You are month to month. So there's so much to like about this. This is the HTC Detail, which is also 4G, and I really like it. TING.com/windows. I'm sorry, I went on a little bit long on that, but I'm very excited to welcome them to our Windows Weekly family, Paul and Mary Jo. More questions. We're talking about Windows 8. They had apparently a Windows 8 running on an 82-inch touchscreen in Barcelona.
Yeah.
With a pen.
Was a pen this big?
It did.
Microsoft gets all users use things. You know? They walk up to my TV and...
I got a pencil right here. And we're going to touch...
Actually, Leo, you'll appreciate this. I think it was on the site with Soledad O'Brien. There was that crazy Stanford scientist guy who used to draw on his Mac screen
Cliff
with a
Stoll.
Sharpie.
Cliff
yes,
Stoll.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I realized he was using an erasable pen, but every time he turned around and started writing on a screen, I was like, stop!
You know, Cliff did that because he knew you would do that. That's exactly what Cliff was. Cliff was a great one for stirring up, stirring the pot.
Yeah.
So Jabberwocky with a great question. If you're happy with Windows 7, is there any reason to go to 8? Are they going to start requiring, you know, apps start requiring that? Will you be looking? I guess one reason is you might look at Metro apps and say, I really want that. But there's no, is there going to be a compelling reason to upgrade, you think?
It's going to be the same thing as it is with every version of Windows. There's some compelling new hardware that you want, you know. I think a lot of times people walk into a store and they see the new devices and they're like, wow. And that's what comes with Windows 8 in this case, right? So they're going to see these tablets. I think the upgrade story from Windows 7 to Windows 8 on traditional PCs is going to revert back to what it was in the old days, you know, where it's going to be kind of a minor market compared to the people who are going to grab it on a new device. So,
I keep saying, and I think Paul, you might have been the first one who said this. It's like Windows 7 is the new XP, right? It's too good for its own good, kind of, right? I don't really want Windows 8 on my laptop that I have Windows 7 on right now. I have to say, I have no incentive to put it on.
if only that worked.
It did.
Yeah. I can't take credit for being the first person to say that.
That wasn't you. Okay.
I don't know. But that makes sense. I mean, and certainly that seems about right. You know, Windows 7 is going to be around for a long time. And I think for the increasingly constricted market for, you know, traditional PCs, that's a high watermark of sorts. You know, it's very reliable and stable and, you know, very efficient and all that kind of stuff. But I think, new form factors are going to drive Windows 8 sales.
I think I'm pretty impressed. I have to say it's beautiful and it seems fairly functional. People are asking what versions. Will there be a pro version, a consumer version? You remember all the SKUs we had with Windows Vista?
No, do they have multiple SKUs?
Multiple SKUs? They're going to do that?
I bet they are.
They haven't said,
but
though.
We don't know. No.
I think there's can expect there to be fewer.
What would be a professional SKU? Would they not have Metro? Do you think they're not? That's not going to happen, is it?
No. It will. The business SKU would be a superset of the home SKU. I mean, I think at the very least, we'll never go back to the beginning of the XP timeframe, which I'd love to, from a SKU perspective, and just have home and business, you know, or home and professional.
Right.
But that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know?
Maybe Hyper-V is the professional SKU, right? Because we haven't really heard which SKUs are Hyper-V going to be in. We don't know.
Okay.
Domain logon will be part of it as it is today, and that explains the WOA thing and why WOA is seen primarily as a consumer device. Oh, you know, Media Center. I don't know.
Byron asked about accessibility. Have you guys looked at accessibility at all? I know Microsoft's very committed to it, so I'd be surprised if there weren't. Good ways to do
that. They had a whole building Windows 8 blog post about that about a month ago, I think.
Okay.
But all the
I can tell you know, the one thing I always look at, because my son is deaf, is whether the video playback solution support soft captioning, which they do not. So that kind of stinks, because, you know, one of the things I do on his computer, and actually on mine as well, is I'll always install some form of a third-party video playback player that supports all of the forms of captioning that are available in digital video files, including the kind of QuickTime style captions, but also like the VOB sub type captions and, you know, the basic video playback stuff that's in Windows 8 doesn't appear to support that unless they've just not added the UI. So that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. Can the App Store be disabled? Asks Jester. I would guess he's an IT professional.
I don't think can it?
Well, so there are two aspects to this. I would imagine that, yes, there is a policy to turn it off on user desktops so they can't install apps. I think that would be one of the things. Although, it's probably more likely that they turn off the ability to find new apps, because, of course, you still want to be able to upgrade the apps. I don't know. I've not looked at that. But I can't imagine Microsoft, one of the things they do very, very well is create all of these management policies for their various products. Every time they add a new feature to IE or a new product like IE10 or whatever, you'll see all kinds of new policies related to that stuff. So that seems possible. But I think what Mary Jo was alluding to there was that Raphael tells me, yes, you can disable the store.
Oh,
so
really? Wow.
I'll just accept that. I think that from the perspective of a corporation, I think what you were trying to we're going to get to there was that those people can deploy apps internally to Windows 8. It's the only way that people can get apps outside of the Windows Store. So if you're in a managed environment, Microsoft is going to provide this capability. I would imagine it's going to require Windows 8 on the server, but I don't actually know.
I wonder if they'll do it, though. Like, you know, on Windows Phone, can't you distribute corporate apps inside the store a special way?
Yep.
So probably maybe they'll do that. Something like that.
There's multi-boot possibilities, right? You could dual boot this with Windows.
Yes.
Vista, just like before.
And the tip there is, as always, if you're going to multi-boot or dual boot, install in reverse order of age. So the oldest one first and then the new ones later, because otherwise you'll screw up the bootloader. So in this case, you want Windows 8 to be the last thing that you install.
Fubar wants to know if this is DirectX. What version of DirectX is in here? I don't know.
That's a good question. I could I'd have to look that up, but
there
I will.
Was just a Building Windows 8 blog post about DirectX today, in fact.
Well,
it
maybe
was
they
about
said.
DirectX for XAML, but I don't know if they said the version number here.
Oh, I don't know. Actually, DirectX, it doesn't. There's got to be a
DirectX 11. DirectX 11.
There we go. We have the answer. It goes to 11.
I couldn't find the. There used to be like a DirectX control panel of sorts.
Here's an interesting question from Cake Wolf. I didn't see this in the settings, but if you logged into another Windows 8 computer, would it copy not only your settings but your apps over?
Well, your apps are associated with your account, right?
Oh, so it would if you log into your account on another computer.
Yeah, it can. Let's let me go in there and see what if that is listed under sync.
I didn't see it under sync.
It just says app settings. So you probably have to go into the store because you'll have this concept of purchased apps, you know,
right.
And you can go in there and select them. That's something I haven't looked at yet. So
I wonder, Apple has a very liberal license on apps that you buy in the App Store. Basically, it's you log into all your computers and all the apps are licensed for whatever.
Five,
I think, yeah. Will they do the same thing?
It is the same, yeah, five.
Oh, good. Great. That's actually, I think, really, really nice. Very liberal licensing.
It's nice because it's one of the requirements for the App Store. So if you have a Metro-style app that you want to sell or, well, giveaway, I guess it wouldn't matter, but if you want to sell, you know, you can't pull the Photoshop where you say right. This thing can only be installed on one app.
Right.
One device.
That's great. Price, any idea?
Nope. No SKUs, no price so far.
Yeah, it's too early. They're not gonna, they don't talk about that stuff this early.
No, of course. So actually, just a random geek's pointing out that you really don't want to sync apps because what if it's a 5 gigabyte app or you got five gigabyte apps and so forth? So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, it might be interesting to be able to go into some interface and check off the ones you want to sync.
That's what I do with the App Store and Apple. And some of
them
are quite large.
I wonder if I could do this easily. I'm curious on a secondary PC what the interface in the store is. I'll look at that. I don't know.
Make notes. These are all things the people want to know.
Okay.
Well, I had a question I asked Paul earlier today because a lot of people have been asking me about the phone, about, you know, Windows Phone compatibility with the Windows 8 Consumer Preview and syncing it up.
Yep.
Paul, I forgot what you told me.
if you have a Windows phone and you plug it into a Windows 7 PC, it will actually come up with a dialogue that says you need to get the Zoom PC software to sync with this. We know from the Windows 8 information that we saw earlier that Windows Phone 8 will ship, or let me see if I'm getting this backwards. Windows Phone 8 will ship with some, wait a minute. I am getting it backwards. I'm sorry. There's going to be some kind of an interface in Windows, isn't there? They're creating a new sync app for Windows Phone 8.
Zoom client goes away with Windows Phone.
Zoom client is going away, yeah. So that's not the case in Windows 8 Consumer Preview. At least that app is not built in. So when you plug a phone, a Windows phone, Windows Phone 7.5 in this case, into Windows 8, at least in my experience this morning when she asked, it does nothing at all. I mean, it installs the drivers. It actually shows up in devices. But you have to manually go find Zoom if you want to sync or, you know, copy files off the phone or anything like that. There's no sync interface built in. And if you search for sync, what you'll come up with is that Vista era, not error.
Era.
Vista era.
My inner JFK is coming out.
it was a boss.
The Vista era. Is that close? Sync Center interface, which doesn't do anything, of course. I mean, it was for Windows mobile devices.
This is fun.
Era.
era. In the era.
Sometimes I say things that even I can hear. You know, it's like, era. Okay.
Well, it's because it's an era.
It is an era.
It's an era.
It's like saying era.
All right. I think there's so many questions.
By the way, I want to throw a question out.
Go ahead.
Okay, can I throw this guy's question on to
you? Yeah.
Yep. It's an interesting question. I don't know if we actually know the answer to this. Well, do you think Microsoft will update existing Windows 7 hardware in some way to make it work better with Windows 8?
Huh?
I don't know.
Microsoft?
Explain yourself.
Work. I know. It wouldn't really be Microsoft, but I guess he's asking, like, if you have a Windows 7 PC or Windows 7 tablet, now, is there anything you could do to make it work better with Windows 8?
Make sure you have the resolution support, right?
Like some kind of an update, patch? I don't know.
One of the big questions I get right now is, I want to test Windows 8, so I want to buy a tablet that's being sold today. Which one should I buy? The number one thing you have to look at, once you get over the fact that every single tablet sold today sucks, is that Windows 8 supports 5 touch points. A lot of the touch-enabled devices that we see today, whether those HP all-in-one PCs or tablet PCs or tablet-like netbook-type things, is they only support 1 or 2 touch points. And that's going to provide only the most basic experience. You really want as many touch points as you can get. So that build tablet that they gave out, the Samsung Series 7, I don't know how many touch points that supports. But that works well with the touch interface in Windows 8. It's not a great tablet, though. It gets pretty bad battery life. It's kind of loud. You know, it's got a loud fan and everything. So it's kind of, unfortunately, if you're serious about this, I would go with the Samsung, but I would only do it because maybe I was writing apps and I really wanted to test it on a touchscreen. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that as your PC. It would be lousy on trips because the battery life is terrible, and it would be lousy using it in an office because the thing runs like a jet engine. But, you know, obviously if you need it, I think that would be the way to go.
And it's really good at solitaire.
So let me throw it. I'd like to throw out a question, too. I have the answer to the question, of course. But it's an interesting question. No, but I mean, this is an interesting question. And it has to go. This guy says, I'm reading that the consumer preview is essentially feature complete. But what does this mean for the apps? I mean, is this really going to be it? And there are two aspects to this. One is just like the number of apps you see in there. And then the other one is like the functionality of the apps, right? So on the number of apps, actually, the interesting thing is that the number of apps that will ship, you know, with Windows 8 or in Windows 8 is actually quite a bit smaller than what we're seeing in a consumer preview. If you look at that EULA, they actually call out the apps that are going to be distributed separately, similar to the way that Windows Live Essentials apps today are distributed. All of those Windows Live apps, the Bing apps, the two games, are things that will be made available for free through the Windows Store, or more typically with a new PC. Like, you know, PC makers will just agree to ship them as part of the base install of what they give away. So that stuff will be there. But as far as the functionality of the apps, you know, we pointed out earlier the app preview nature of these apps. They're not as far along as the underlying platform. You know, Microsoft told me that the people who created those apps only got access to the code at build, which was the same time external developers got it. That's what they've been able to put together in that short amount of time, and that those things will, in fact, improve before and change between now and RTM. And this would be a great time for people to provide feedback about the various things, not to me, but to Microsoft.
Don't tell me your problems.
Well, because, you know, I can't do anything with it. But tell Microsoft. And the reason being that if there's something missing in the Mail app, if there's something missing in the Music app, whatever, any of those apps,
they need to know about it.
Yeah. But they need to know about it now, because otherwise it's not going to happen in time for the final release.
So how long before the Gold Master? I mean, what are we talking? Months? Days? Weeks?
No. I bet late days.
Hours?
Hours?
Minutes? I bet late summer RTM launch Q3. That's okay. My guess.
This Q3 feels very finished, I have to say. I mean,
I know, more than you would have thought, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was alluding to earlier. It's a little surprising how kind of finished it feels. You know, you can argue and debate about the dual nature of the two UIs that they're providing in the system and how weird that is, and you know, how it's obviously touch-centric, not touch-first or whatever. But it's got a, you know, it's got that vibe to it. Like, it's
It feels done.
Paul, go back to apps for a second again. Does it actually say in the EULA that these apps, like Messenger and Mail and all that, does it say they are not part of the operating system? Because
no, but I know they're not. The wording on it's been weird.
They keep calling it part of the core experience of Windows 8, which makes me wonder if they bundle them.
I'm going to see if I can find the exact screen, because I have it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they must bundle some of them. You don't want to get a start screen with no tiles on it.
So there are three parts to the EULA as far as what the executables that are there. There's what Microsoft calls the consumer preview, which, of course, is Windows 8. There are the sample applications, and then there are, and they don't give these things a name because they're the Windows Live and Bing applications, but it includes Mail, Messaging, Photos, People, Calendar, Weather, Finance, Maps, and Microsoft SkyDrive. Those are not part of the OS. And in the same way that Windows Live Photo Gallery today is not part of the OS. You know, I asked them, by the way, about Windows Live Essentials, and there was no comment on that. They wouldn't talk about that because there are aspects to Windows Live Essentials that are not present in any of these apps. For example, Writer, which is an entire application, or the photo editing capabilities of Windows Live Photo Gallery, which are completely absent in the Photos Metro-style app. So I think but there's more information to come about that kind of stuff. But the important thing to know is that these applications, which also include, by the way, you know, Pinball FX2 and Solitaire, not part of Windows, right? They are almost certainly going to be distributed separately in the exact same manner as Windows Live Essentials is today. I think that's the way to look at it. But they call them out. My point isn't that it says what I just said in the EULA. My point is that in the EULA, it calls out those applications
as being different.
Yeah. So that you know which ones they are.
Right. Yeah. What about SkyDrive? You mentioned SkyDrive. Is there how much integration, SkyDrive integration, will they be? Have they talked about that? Is it?
Yeah, a lot more than we see in this one. So obviously there's a SkyDrive app that lets you browse SkyDrive. There's SkyDrive integration with some of the key apps like Photos, where you can look at your photos.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But the thing that's not in this build, which is actually very interesting to people, I think, is there's another SkyDrive app coming that's going to give you that Explorer integration. And that's something I'm actually very eager to test, because once you have 25 gigs of storage that you can access for I should spell out the most important SkyDrive integration. One of the things that is available to Metro-style apps is that you can access SkyDrive in the same manner as you access the file system from an open or save file perspective. So in Windows, in classic Windows or in Windows today, we have something called open and save file dialogs. In Metro environment, they're called file pickers. And one of the things that is built into Windows 8 is the ability to hit SkyDrive. Third parties can extend that. So you could hit Flickr or Google Storage or whatever. I mean, that's going to be very possible and nice.
In fact, it's side by side. I see SkyDrive, Facebook, Flickr right
well,
there.
Well, that's
right?
just what, see, what you're looking at, though, is just photos. In other words, the point here is you're looking at photo collections that are in kind of obvious
places.
But,
right.
But maybe you would have a, I'm trying to invent something, but an application that edits text files, you know, and you save the file, and you would obviously be able to save it to the disk on the machine. But one of the other choices in the file picker would be SkyDrive, and also any of the other add-ins that people have added. So if you could add Google Docs or Flickr, although Flickr is obviously a photo storage service, people can extend it, which is very interesting. But I think what people are looking for now is the piece that's missing, which is that Explorer integration, and that may give SkyDrive the capability to do things like you could back up your computer to SkyDrive, potentially. It would probably be slower than crap, but it's something that possibly you could do. So that piece that they've discussed is not present yet, but will be distributed as an app. And also for Windows 7 and Vista, not just for Windows 8.
And
I want to ask a question. Any new news on Defender in Windows 8?
Yeah, so...
What's new there? Anything in the
yeah? City? If you look for search for Defender because it's hidden, but do the search, it's there.
So Defender is the built-in antivirus, anti-malware that supersedes Windows Microsoft Security Essentials, right?
Exactly right, and it looks exactly like Security Essentials does today. So if you bring that thing up, it's going to be very familiar, but it's built in.
That's nice.
And interestingly, if you upgrade a computer that has Windows Security Essentials on it, Microsoft Security Essentials, you have to uninstall that before you upgrade. It will, and it will do it as part of the upgrade.
So this is I'm looking at, right?
You're looking at a file explorer of some kind. So go, what do you...
Well, I was trying to attach a picture to an email. So this replaces the... I mean, there still is Windows Explorer, but this is a new...
That's
file
a good way to break
full
this up.
Screen.
So you start a new explorer. Email.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the file picker. Yeah. Right. Exactly right.
It's really interesting. So I'm in a new email, and I go down to the menu down here.
So do that. Do it again, and I'll show you where SkyDrive is.
Okay.
Now click the little down arrow next to files.
Ah.
Now what you're going to see there is a lot of the major places in the file system, but also near the bottom
apps.
Is going to be SkyDrive.
Look at that. So I go to the SkyDrive app.
Right. Well, yeah, it's actually not the app so much as it is. It's like
in SkyDrive itself.
It's in the band. See how it's it's kind of in line.
Right.
So you could browse around your SkyDrive file hierarchy, find the file that you want, folder hierarchy, find the file that you want, and it would attach it from SkyDrive. It's pretty cool when you think about what it's doing.
It's really great. I love this. So I'm going to attach that picture. Hit enter. Oh, you can attach multiple. That's great. Now I'm going to hit it. I'll go there. Now it's attached, and I send. Yep. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty. And
neat.
And importantly, it's extensible. You know, one of the problems with Windows today or the Windows Live apps is that they build this functionality into it, and then it sits there unchanging until the next version. But now you'll be able to update the OS, if you will, by adding these experiences without Microsoft having to do anything. So all of the apps that can take advantage of that are instantly upgraded. The OS itself instantly upgraded with that new functionality simply through this kind of nice extensibility model.
XP Holdout says...
Oh, I can see where this one's going.
Do the live tiles use internet bandwidth to keep updated? In other words, I've got a live tile that's got weather. Is that going to be accessing my internet from time to time?
Yes.
Okay. So that could increase the amount of internet use, I guess, especially in enterprise. But I think that's just sipping.
Yeah, there's a... I'd have to really look at this, but there's going to be a setting around that. There's a notification system that, let me see if that's part of it. So actually notifications of those pop up, so that's not really going to help too much, but let me see.
And Rev is pointing out that because you've got Defender now, is this going to kill the third party antivirus market? You don't need an antivirus, do you?
Well, a lot of people would disagree with that statement. Okay. I'm not one of them, but okay. Yes, I mean, yeah, you can still install a third party, and PC makers still will do that, and that's fine. And Windows Defender now, or what used to be Security Essentials, is designed in such a way. Well, actually, the Defender that's part of Windows 7 is designed in such a way that when you install Norton or McAfee, it disables itself. It's part of the
right.
install.
So, sure.
I'm looking up this app thing. I'm curious about that now because one of the big deals in the Metro environment is its power management stuff and how the apps are supposed to be very efficient and everything. And it seems like there must be a way to turn that off even on an app-by-app basis, as you can in Windows Phone, by the way. So let me see.
Here's the Engadget video of the Barcelona demo of the
Michelangelo.
82.
Serial killer Michelangelo.
Look at those eyes. Hey, it's crazy, man.
He's got crazy eyes.
Crazy
That's
eyes.
What happens when you use Windows 8.
That's what happens when you use an 82-inch monitor.
Exactly.
So he's not using that big... Wow. You know... This is nice. Is this what Surface is going to look like?
Yeah, presumably.
It's kind of Surfacey.
Someday, maybe.
Yeah. Wow.
A big effing table.
Yeah. That's a big effing wall.
I'm going to look into that.
This is really, you know what? When you start looking at it like this, this is kind of Minority Report interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the point of this demo.
Yeah. Wow.
This is the Future is Now demo.
Yeah. And this is Windows 8.
Pen came out. Once the pen
it's
came
like,
out, though.
It's, this is Bing Maps where like 1 inch equals 1 inch.
You know. Zoom in on Barcelona. Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah.
If I went out and bought a laptop with a touch screen, would that be, you think, maybe like a convertible or something? This seems like this would be great for that.
Yeah, but again, you want to just pay attention to the touch point stuff. You know, one touch point's not going to do it.
You need 5, 6, or 7, something like that.
I can't, you know, Raphael may chime in if I say this incorrectly, but I thought there was to get the Windows logo on the new the new devices, I think you actually have to have 5.
5.
I think
that
that's a requirement.
And I think the Mac has 10.
Yeah, but if you think about what's necessary for pinching and so forth.
Let me tell you something. Try to get 10 fingers on a tablet and do something.
Well, and that 82-inch screen would be great.
Yeah, well, if it's a keyboard,
so Raphael confirms. So 5 is required on new devices. But, you know, devices that are around today, if you think about the types of things you would be doing, pinching and so forth, right. You want to have at least 2.
Yeah. In fact, it's going to be soon enough. Wait and get Windows 8 hardware, I would say.
There isn't a device I can point to now and say you need to get that because they're terrible.
Yeah. All right. This is great. I have to say, I am pleasantly surprised. I was really a naysayer, but this has come a long way. And you really do want to touch it, though.
I know.
Maybe this pen will work. By the way, Windows 8 Server is also out in beta, right? Anything? But is that going to be the new user interface or?
Yeah.
Metro on it.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, the default UI is the start screen. The big thing there is the new version of Server Manager, which I need to spend some time with because it was one of my big complaints in the developer preview was that the thing was very half realized. I've seen it. They've shown it to me. I've not installed it and used it. I'll do that today. It looks a lot better. It's going to be the primary UI for everything that you do in server, to the point where they've added a bunch of the admin tools are actually available from within the server, server manager, because Mary Jo is probably familiar with the fact that, and you may not be, that, you know, Windows Server today supports these two install modes, server core, which is like command line only, and then the full server, which is the full GUI. And they're making two major changes to that in, well, actually three, depending on how you look at it, in Windows Server 8. The first is that server core is the default choice. It's the preferred choice because they want people to access these servers remotely only and not sit in front of them. There's a second install type called, I think it's called minimal server install, which is server core plus server manager, right? So now you have that one GUI that does everything. That's actually pretty cool. And it has a lower attack surface than the full server because it doesn't have a web browser and a lot of the other components. And then, of course, there's the full server. But the third change, which is also very cool, is that unlike in today's version of Windows Server, you can go back and forth between those modes. So if you install your server in such a way that you need, you know, I need this role and this role and this role, if you only need to have server core for all that stuff to happen, that's what can get installed. But if you add a role that maybe requires you to move up to the next version, it will do that automatically. And then if you remove roles, you can go back down the chain. So the point being that this thing can be as secure as possible at all times, because as you remove features, you're reducing the attack surface. So that's
also
that's
the other big one too in server the server beta is ReFS. Remember the resilient file system that gets surfaced in this beta, so you can try that out.
File server. File server role, or whatever that's called. The file server role, whatever that's called, is the only place where that's applicable. And I believe it's only for internal disks. I don't think you can put RFS on external disks, I think.
We have more to talk about, including our picks of the week, our tips of the week. Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott, Windows Weekly, celebrating the consumer preview of Windows 8. And we will talk more about that in just a bit. But first, let me talk a little bit about our friends at the Ford Motor Company and the amazing technologies they're putting into their cars. Of course, we've talked in the past about electric engines and the hybrid electrics. But now we should talk a little bit about the fact, because many people still need gas engines. You know, if you live in an area where you need the power or you need the range of a gas engine, Ford is doing amazing things with those, too. It's the EcoBoost engine. Take a look at Ford.com/technology if you want to know more. The idea, of course, is now we all need better gas mileage, but we don't want to sacrifice performance. And the EcoBoost kind of gives you the best of both worlds, a big car performance with small car engine. If you visit Ford.com/technology, you could take a look. This video is with the SHO, which is, I think, a 3.5-liter EcoBoost. And amazing. It's a V6 engine giving you V8 torque and pickup and power. But now they're also coming out with 2-liter EcoBoost engines. That's on the 2012 Explorer and the Edge. Now, these are still large utility vehicles, but they give you gas mileage that's best in class. An estimated, EPA estimated, 28 highway miles per gallon on the 2.0-liter EcoBoost engine with full-wheel drive. That is amazing. 28 miles per gallon. They do it with direct injection, producing a cooler, denser charge that generates more power per drop of fuel. And they've got these amazing twin turbines. They're turbocharged. They take energy from the engine's exhaust that rotates the turbine wheels, compresses the incoming air, really increasing the output per liter of displacement. You get an amazing, amazing power in these engines. Instant, low-end torque, and responsiveness with virtually no turbo lag. Look, you got to check everything out here at this page, because Ford is really leading the way in the 21st century car company. And all of it's at Ford.com/technology. And then drive one. You won't believe me until you drive it. Go test the 2-liter EcoBoost engine on the 2012 Explorer and Edge at your Ford dealer today. In a couple of months, the 2013 Escape will have a 1.6-liter option as well. Drive one at a Ford dealer near you. And we thank Ford so much for their support of our Windows Weekly program. Ooh. What? By the way, Ford uses Windows. One of the things I saw when we went to the Rouge plant, Windows everywhere on Ford. Of course they do. What was that? Ooh, about Paul. Did you hurt yourself? You can't, you son of a. He just got his Apple invite. That's what it is.
Actually, that brings up an interesting point. Did we want to discuss our
non-disclosure
background info about this build or whatever?
Do you have it? What is it? What do you mean? What do you know something?
I think people need to know this because this is more like insider baseball stuff, which people love, right? And Paul and I were talking about this before the show, and I was saying, you know, it's interesting to contrast and compare because some people have had tablets from Microsoft running these consumer preview bits because they wanted them to review them and have reviews out yesterday.
Right.
They've had them for, you know, a week plus time. So some people have really gotten to work with this and really put this through the paces. Some of us who are on blacklists didn't get a tablet and a briefing and all that. So, yeah, that's why you can hear different depths of discussion and knowledge.
I have to say, I this is very common. You know, Apple obviously has blacklisted me. In fact, I think Apple is now blacklisting anybody who works with me. And I just no seriously.
Right. So if I get double blacklisted, does that mean I'm back on the list?
So far, I don't think Microsoft hates me, but that could, I could be wrong on that. But well, it's not. It's what bugs me. And I'll say it for you because I know it's diplomatically difficult to start complaining about this because you sound like a whiner.
Yeah.
So I'll complain. I'll whine for you, which is that companies, and I think this is kind of reprehensible, use access to control coverage. Sure. They absolutely do this, where if you don't give them the kind of coverage, the positive coverage they want, they will reduce your access or at some points eliminate access if you're not favorable to them. And now, it's certainly legal to do. It's ethically questionable. And it also raises the issue that it's not you they're punishing. It's your readers. It's our listeners. It's the people that we work for.
It is you as well.
Well, I take it personally, but it's the people we work for, which is our audiences that end up getting deprived. But ultimately, they can go to somebody. I won't name names. They can go to somebody else who's going to give these companies positive coverage. But are they going to get the objective coverage that they deserve? I think not, because I think this is a powerful tool, powerful threat.
I was among the people that got a tablet early, but I would have gotten it a lot earlier than I got it, but I was traveling to Barcelona, so I wasn't going to be around when they would have given that to me normally. So I arranged to go there and get it.
So what you're saying is the person on the right of the screen is hated, and the person on the left of the screen is loved by somebody.
No. What I'm saying is that when the Windows 8 consumer preview went live, I published like 16 articles because
you had been writing.
But here's the thing. Here's what kills me. I got an email from this guy who said, you know, you guys a week or two ago talked about how you didn't know this and you didn't know that. And we just don't know anything. And then you published like this, like 30,000 words
you
of information.
Knew something all along.
Clearly, you know knew something. You had this thing a week or 10 days ago, and you're a liar.
Right.
And the truth is, and I wrote him back and I said, isn't it just possible that I've actually only had the code since Monday, which
and
is
you
the
just,
truth?
And you're right.
I
fast.
Just kicked ass. No, I the week I went to Barcelona, I talked to somebody at Microsoft on the record as sort of a pre-briefing because I was going to be gone when they would have normally briefed me. I used that information to write the shell of 15 articles, knowing that I would fill them in.
Wow.
When I got the code, I couldn't publish a couple of them because when they gave me they gave me a tablet, not the code, so I couldn't do any of the setup stuff. Even though it was all basically written, I just had to make sure everything lined up with what had changed. And I flew home from Barcelona last Wednesday. I was obviously delirious, but on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I worked all day long, every day, to write those articles. I met with Microsoft at 7:30 and then again at 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday. And then I sat in a hotel room and I wrote those articles and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And I got on a plane and I flew home and they published automatically.
Wow.
That's what I did. I didn't have access to this thing 10 days ago or a week ago, whatever. I would have, but I was traveling. Oh, he also accused me. He said, it's a little too coincidental that you went to Barcelona right before Mobile World Congress. Yeah, clearly,
that's where the secret headquarters
is. Yeah, you went there to get the code and to I didn't see or meet anyone from Microsoft in Barcelona. I went sightseeing.
Yeah, people asked me that too. People were saying, you know where Paul is. He's in Barcelona. He's getting a briefing.
Everybody who listens to this show knows that Paul was really upset that he went to Barcelona and then Microsoft announces a week later that they're going to be there. This was not planned.
Look, if you, every February, my family goes on vacation somewhere.
Right.
Last February, we went to Madrid.
Right.
Last February, when we went to Madrid, it happened to be the same week that Mobile World Congress was. But the week we go is the same week every year because it's the school vacation week.
Right.
So we went to Barcelona.
If that were the plan, you would have stayed. Seriously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
By the way, when you remember, Microsoft put out an invite about, hey, we're going to have the beta event in Barcelona. First thing I did was write them. And then when they didn't write me back in 10 seconds, I called them and I said, if I need to be in Barcelona for this to get the code, I need to know now. Because if I am, I am going to fly home from Barcelona and then I'm going to fly back to Barcelona. And that's what I'm going to do because I will do what it takes to get this. And they said, no, you don't want to go to Barcelona.
We'll get you the code.
So, yeah, we'll figure it out otherwise. But and that's what I did.
Do you have a WoWA tablet or do you just have the regular Windows 8 instead?
No, I just have the regular Windows 8 tablet.
And you have a tablet as well as a laptop or just a tablet?
No, they have loaned me that build tablet, which has the new build on it. And I install it on my own machines, which I buy with my own money.
Got it. Just and Mary Jo, they hate you.
No, and I'm not trying to make it like poor me, I'm hated. But
I am a whiner.
But
no, I'm a whiner.
What makes this hard? What makes this hard is, if you want testers to try this out and give you a valid, hey, this is pretty good or this is pretty horrible. If the only my only recourse is putting this on a really crappy take on this is going to be pretty bad, right? And I'm not saying they should skew it to make my results better, but I don't have a touch tablet lying around, and I'm not going to go buy one until Windows 8 comes out. So there you go.
I would just like to reveal that Ting sent me this phone months ago. I have had this Ting phone.
It's almost like they know how to treat people.
I get nothing. What really scares me is that Apple. No, I knew Apple wouldn't send me an invite to the iPad 3 announcement next week, but others that work with me, not for me, who have in the past received invitations to all Apple events, are also not getting invitations. And that is just really skeezy.
I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people in the press who was hoping for a kinder, gentler Apple to emerge from in the post Steve Jobs world. But give it time. You never know.
It's all right. The good news is you don't have. I mean, I wish they'd stream these. It was great that Microsoft streamed the Barcelona event. Well, then I don't care. Oh, they didn't. I thought they did.
No, they provided it later. So.
Oh well, I'm glad I didn't get up at 6 a.m.
I asked the guy. I'm not going to call. It's not their fault, so I'm not going to name who said this to me. They're just relaying a message. I mean, and I mean this humorously because they're good guys and I like them and all that stuff. But Microsoft is under such a strict secrecy thing that they will not give the code to people.
Right.
They'll give you a tablet, but they won't give you the code.
Interesting.
They won't give it to the server team before it's finalized. They won't give it to anyone outside of the Windows team. It's secret. So as recently as Monday, when I spoke to these guys, I said, so you're having this event Wednesday. Wednesday is the last day of the month. You promised that you will deliver this thing by Wednesday. I assume that means that you will, in fact, release the code on Wednesday. And he said, yeah, we're not ready to say that. And I said, so when will you be ready to say that? He says, well, we'll say what we have to say at the event. So I said, so is the code ready? Well, we're not really saying that either. So I said, so the code's not ready. No, we're not saying it's not ready.
It's a denial.
We went back and forth on this, I think, for easily 15 straight minutes. It turned into like the Who's on First comedy routine. But this is the kind of weird. You get into these weird, stilted conversations with people you really otherwise like quite a bit because of this weird kind of policy of secrecy that I don't think makes a lot of sense. I mean, Microsoft could shut me down very easily from a sort of a rumor standpoint by saying, hey, Paul, we're going to put you under NDA for Windows 8 and we're going to let you under the kimono and we're going to tell you everything that's going to happen. And then I would just shut up because I would accept that because I have to, in my case, I know Mary Jo wouldn't, but in my case, I have to write a book, and it's more important for me to get that right than it is to be able to be like, hey, exclusive, the start button's gone. I mean, the stupid little news things, I don't really care about that stuff. I'm more interested in
stupid little news things.
I don't mean no.
Maybe I said that wrong.
The stupid little rumor things, I should say, is stuff I don't necessarily. That's not my core. I'm more about discussing technology and you know, hopefully getting excited about it if it's good. I mean, I would be, in the case of Windows 8, this is very core to what I would do. I would be happy to shut up about anything, or Windows Phone, same thing, you know. But those guys never ask. It never occurs to them, or maybe it does, and they have a strict policy against it, to be like, look, we're going to tell you what's going on now. Would you shut up about it? And I would say yes. But they don't. So that's their choice.
So there. That's always mature. That's what I want to do. The heck with you. One little thing before we go to the tips. Yesterday was leap day.
Right.
That happens once every 4 years. I think pretty much on a schedule, as I remember.
We are, who's we?
Leap day. It happens on a schedule, does it not? I'm just saying, yeah. It's predictable.
I see.
Apparently Azure was kind of surprised by it, though.
Oh, my daughter was rolling around on an exercise ball doing like a plank type thing, watching TV.
Yeah.
And I kicked it out from under her.
Uh-huh.
She crashed to the ground in spectacular fashion, which I found hilarious. And this morning she said, do you remember how yesterday you kicked that ball and I fell down? And I said, Kelly, yesterday didn't happen. So I can't confirm or deny that story. The 29th does not exist. And that's how I got away with it.
It's in a black hole.
Yep. So I am absolved of anything that happened on the 29th. Just like Microsoft is absolved for anything that happened to Windows Azure yesterday.
Yeah, it was a bad day for Windows Azure yesterday. Let's just say that. Yeah, they had a leap year bug. Took down some big parts of Azure. It took down completely the service management piece. Then once they got that patch, then compute started failing in Europe and the US. And I was getting horrible mail from people while we were trying to cover the consumer preview launch saying, do you know Azure is like completely melting down? I can't even log on. The dashboard is ground to a halt. And it was all because of a leap year bug.
That's so weird that still happens in this day.
I know. It's like, it's so old fashioned in a way.
I can see the Y2K bug. Okay, yeah, because that's only every 1,000 years. But I believe every fourth year you get a leap day.
But you know, I think Azure is less than 4 years old.
It must be, or this would have happened in 2008.
Yeah. So not to absolve them or excuse them, but I think it caught everybody by surprise, and
it's pretty funny.
It was not a good day.
Was it down all day, or?
No, and not every user was down, and not every geographic location was down, but people who were down hard, like for 12 hours. Yeah,
this would never have happened if Dave Cutler had never left.
I just wish these things wouldn't happen, because then it gives people an excuse to say, oh, see the cloud, you can't rely on it.
I know.
It ain't never going to happen.
You're saying. Yep.
And, well, it's true. If people make bonehead, you know, literally, it's like in the first week of programming class. You learn how to write the code to calculate leap year. I mean, it's that simple.
You do like a Gregorian calendar exercise.
It's very simple. It's every fourth year except on years divisible by 100, and that's it. And it's a nice little piece of code, and it's just strange. Just odd. A little weird. Let us get our – I think we're ready for the tip of the week, unless there's anything else we've missed. It's been a great show. I've really enjoyed looking in depth at Windows 8. Do you have a Windows 8 tip, Paul?
Yeah, I do. My tip and pick are both related to Windows 8. I'm in the middle of publishing a series of articles on installing the Windows 8 consumer preview. And I, depending on how you want to install it, you know, there are different ways to do it. In the past, we always had that thing where you would download an ISO or just buy the disk, and then you would install it interactively. And that allows you to do a clean install or an upgrade over a supported OS, which in this case is Windows 7. So that stuff still works in Windows 8 in the consumer preview, and you can do that. But there is a kind of a neat web-based installer that people should check out, especially if they're on kind of a low bandwidth connection. And one of the neat things about that is that Microsoft told me that the Windows imaging file that makes up the bulk of that huge download, the 2.5 to 3.3 gig download, is a single file that is compressed in a certain way. And they've created an unarchiver for that, or I guess it's a decryptor or whatever, that is very efficient for that one file format. So you can actually use the web-based installer and install this thing over Windows 7 or in a clean install where it wipes out Windows 7 much more quickly than if you download the ISO, burn it to disk, or copy it to USB, reboot the computer, install it that way. And I think for consumers, this is going to be the way to go going forward and is going to be the way that most people who install Windows 8 from sort of a retail perspective, i.e. they don't get it with a new PC, will actually do it in the future. And it's kind of analogous to the you know, the Mac App Store way where you download Mac OS X Lion and install it over Snow Leopard. You know, same type of thing. It's very interesting. So I haven't written that article yet, but I will. There's also a related technology called push-button reset, which is that PC refresh and PC reset technology. It allows you to wipe out Windows 8 really quickly, and I mean really quickly in some cases. The reset I did, even in a virtual machine, when you reset Windows 8 in a virtual machine, once you step through a couple of menus, it took seconds. I mean, like 8 seconds. It was crazy how fast it was. And that's neat. And then I was told that it's not going to be there in the consumer preview. It's not there in a consumer preview, but sometime in the future before RTM, we're going to have access to something called Windows to Go. And this is the ability to install Windows 8 to a USB key, plug that into any computer, and then boot into the environment that way, where you're using the resources of the computer to run Windows, but the storage is all on the memory key, so it's a portable Windows environment. So that will be a future article. I won't be able to write that this week, but that's coming sometime down the road. So just lots of different ways to install Windows. Some of the articles are up on the site now. The rest will be up over the next day or two.
Very good. Very, very good. I'm installing it right now. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it in the VM, so it's a little easier.
Sure.
Not so complicated. Your software pick of the week? Well, guess what?
Yeah, sorry. I hate to ruin a surprise, but I didn't say of all the software that's released this week, the big one, of course, is the Windows 8 Consumer Preview.
Oh, come on. There must have been something even more important. All right.
Leo, if there was, I honestly cannot remember it because this has been my focus for the past seven days, as you may know.
No, I understand.
It's a big deal. So 32-bit and 64-bit versions, I would recommend the 64-bit for most mainstream users now. But grab one, install it, give it a shot. You can dual boot with Windows. Actually, dual boot is another install type. If you have Windows 7 on,
does it offer dual boot? I guess it would for a preview.
Yeah. During setup, there's a phase where you can reconstruct the disk how you want it non-destructively, and you can install Windows 8 right next to Windows 7. So,
cool.
Anyway, grab the preview.windows.com.
And then it's our enterprise pick of the week with Mary Jo Foley.
I can't resist a chance to say Hadoop.
Hadoop!
Hadoop!
All right, everybody, drink up.
Drink up. Drinking game.
That's a very pathetic drinking game.
It is.
You might have a sip every few weeks.
Leo, it's the journey, not the
you don't hear it as much as Fast and Fluid, that's for sure.
That makes me want to hearing that makes me want to drink, though. That's good.
Now, so more roadmap details leaking on Hadoop, which is the big data framework that Microsoft is bringing to Azure and to Windows Server. So if you go on my website, allaboutmicrosoft.com, got some more roadmap slides. And what's very interesting is they've got new components that are being added to these distributions that Microsoft is building with Hortonworks that are going to be part of it. There's something called Big Top, which is an Apache service. And there's a hint that there could be a .NET CLR Hadoop programming toolkit or framework coming, which a lot of people have been wondering about. And we know now that Hadoop on Azure is supposed to be done by March 30th, and the new CTP for Hadoop on Windows Server is going to be starting on March 30th, and supposedly Hadoop on Server out by June 29th. So now we have a lot more details about what's going on with Hadoop at Microsoft.
And I do like saying Hadoop. I understand your interest. Yes.
I do. I love
Hadoop.
That word.
Hadoop. Hadoop. What do you think Jupyter is? Our code name of the week.
Yes, a Windows 8 related codename, in fact. So back a year ago, well, even more than a year ago, January 2011, I looked up my article. There was the codename Jupyter orbiting our planets. And it was supposedly going to be a XAML layer on top of the Windows application programming framework for Windows 8, which Microsoft then told me was incorrect information and not true. If you now look at the programming framework for Windows 8, it is exactly that. And when you see the XAML box in those famous diagrams, for how you program a Metro-style app, that is Jupyter. So Jupyter is now part of your framework, and the framework got updated this week, by the way, with the Visual Studio 11 beta that came out alongside these other two betas that we've already talked about, Windows 8 and Windows Server 8.
Cool. This is cute. When you install Windows 8, you get this. Unless that's a blue screen of death. Is that normal?
No, that's the boot screen.
Just checking. The blue beta of death. Go ahead.
When you see it on a like a tablet or an SSD type system, you don't even see that screen. It's so fast.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is an SSD, but it's virtualization, so it's going to take a little longer. But this is great. I'm running this in VMware on a Macintosh. I like it that they made the beta be, kind of a drawing, not a photo. Although I love it when you go to Bing in Windows 8. You get the first Bing screen is an actual swimming fish. I was showing that a little bit earlier. That's pretty cool. Paul Thurrott, he is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. You can catch him there and, of course, Windows IT Pro and get all his books. And I'm sure he's already working on Windows 8 Secrets. Are you?
I am, literally.
Literally. As yes. As we're speaking, he's typing the introduction.
Yep. I think it's code complete.
I don't actually write it that way, but I will tell you that the first thing I've written is about Internet Explorer 10.
First, get a really big pen, is what he's saying.
If I had to write a book with my pen, it would never get done. I can't even sign a check without my hand cramping up.
I know. It's funny. My son is almost 18. He'll be 18 in August, and he's going to summer school in Boston, and we had to have him sign a form, and he says, I don't have a signature. And we said, well, you could actually handwrite your name. That would be a signature.
Write a couple of hieroglyphics that you like, a fish and a woman with a basket.
I never write. I don't have a signature. Which, boy, that tells you something about the younger generation. Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft with a word processor. You use a Wang still, or have you moved on?
Yep. Yeah. Still on the Wang.
She's still using the Wang. And you can catch all of those Wang.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Exactly. I'm an advocate of using the right tool for the right job.
Well, once those keystrokes are in your hand, you know. Actually, WordPerfect was, the WordPerfect keystrokes were based on Wang, right? Because people, they figured secretaries had already been using Wang for so long, Wang writers, that they wouldn't have those keystrokes. And I think at least in the early days, WordPerfect key bindings were Wang, as I remember. Mary Jo writes at allaboutmicrosoft.com, and she's filed 4 stories since this show began. That's how prolific she is. And brewed 4 bags of beer. I met somebody from Billings, Montana, who said, I hear Mary Jo's new beer is Billings. And said, I think, yes, you won the lottery for the bee beer.
Nice.
That's exciting. Thanks, Mary Jo. Thank you, Paul Thurrott. Thank you all for watching. We'll do this show next week. Same time, Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC at twit.tv. Always watch live. It's a lot more fun that way. But if you can't, we do record audio and video and make it available for download at twit.tv. So please subscribe and get every show. You wouldn't want to miss a one. And this is exciting. I'm installing right now. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.